You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
For installment tonight, we're going to talk about faith and circumstances. If last week we talked about the difficulty of maintaining faith while waiting, maybe for some of us, last week we could totally relate now. There are some prayer requests or some things that we're believing for kang God na maybe months or years na nag-believe. Now, maybe there are some area in our life na we're believing kang God, provision, for healing maybe, or for your grades, mga makapasar mo, for if you're a student. But there are certain area in your life na that's hindering you from believing that God will come through. You're believing for breakthrough in your finance, pero ang sweldo nimo taga at a certain amount lang. You're believing for healing, pero somehow there's no breakthrough in the healing process. You're believing for reconciliation of relationship or restoration of relationships, pero somehow dili magkabati. You're believing that you're gonna pass or do well in your studies, but you failed your last exam. What do you do then? Perhaps there are circumstances in your life that's hindering you from growing in your faith. And that's what we're gonna talk about here today, faith and circumstances. And of course, like last week, we're gonna look into another part of Abraham's faith journey. So if you have your Bibles with you, can you turn them to Genesis chapter 18, verse 9 to 15? It says there, they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." Verse 10, the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening in the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?'" Verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh, for she was afraid." He said, "No, but you did laugh." Just a quick background of what the passage is all about, or where it is a story ni Abraham Dapit, as we're in the second to the last installment of this series. Basically, the timeline here is that it has been 24 years since Abraham first received God's promise for him. If you remember, all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, we talked about Abraham hearing the call of God. God telling him, "Abraham, I have this great plan and destiny for you." God gave him a promise, a threefold promise, that he was going to be a father to many nations, or he will be a great nation. He will be blessed so much that so many people will be blessed by him and his family. And he promised him, God promised Abraham that he was going to have a certain land area. And God has been faithful with those things. But the one thing that Abraham has been waiting for the past 24 years for God to fulfill his life is the covenant son. The promised son for Abraham. If you remember, Abraham and his wife Sarah had no son between them. And they were about 99 to 90 years old at this time. They have been waiting for so long to have a son. Way back in Genesis chapter 12, God said, "You're going to have a son. You're going to be a father to many nations." A few verses or a few chapters after that, God made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. God told Abraham, "All right, I promised you before with my word. Now let's make a covenant. Let's have an agreement, Abraham. I'm going to make this agreement with you, promising that I'm really going to make it come through. Now you're going to have a son. You're going to be a father to many nations." In the last week, we talked about God talking to Abraham once again, reminding them that God was not just changing Abraham's name, but he also changed Sarah's name. From Sarai to Sarah, from exalted mother or princess or a queen, ang meaning sa Sarah, to mother of nations. God was changing their lives, and now he even told them, "Na you're going to have a son named Isaac." So God gave them a name for their son na. And yet in this chapter, wala pa nabot ang anak nila. It has been 24 years since that promise, and yet wala pa ang anak nabot. The promised covenant son had not come. In fact, Abraham, if you remember last week, because he got tired of waiting, both of them, nag-shortcut sila. He had a son with his servant. But that was not God's intent for the promise to be fulfilled. So God had to remind them that, "Abraham, I'm going to come through with my promise. You're going to have a son through Sarah." And this is where we pick up this story. After that encounter, God's going to speak to them again. So in this story, it starts off with Abraham one day looking up from his tent, and he saw the figures of three men. He welcomed them to the tent. He had time with them. And then while they were conversing with one another, they said to him in verse 9, the three men, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "She is in the tent." Abraham said, "Nasa tent si Sarah." And then one of these men, interestingly, is the Lord. These three mysterious men, okay, one of them is the Lord. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. So one of these three men is basically God, the Lord. The Lord in human form, or Jesus in human form. Not in human flesh, but in human form. Talking to Abraham and telling him, where is your wife? And not just that, he also told him, by this time next year, I'm going to come back and you're going to have a son. As we talk about faith and circumstance, church, I want us first to understand that God knows our circumstances. If you go back in verse 10, the Lord told Abraham what they needed to hear. Abraham didn't need to tell the Lord, Lord, Sarah is in the tent. You know what? We're still waiting for your promise, Lord. You know what, Lord? We're getting tired of waiting, na Lord. Lord, asa naman the Lord yung promise. Di ba nag-promise ka, nag-covenant pa kayo ta? The Lord spoke to Abraham directly what they needed to hear. I know your situation. You know what? I'm gonna be back next year about this time, and you're gonna have a son. God knows our circumstances, church. Before we even cry out to God, before we write it down those envelopes for a prayer request, before we pray to God, before we worship God, and Lord, hear me, Lord. God knows our circumstances. Not everyone might know, we might not know, but God knows what you're going through. God knows what difficulty, what challenges, what storms are in your life. God knows of those nights that you weep, that you cry, and you're wondering, Lord, how do I fix this? Or Lord, how do I get through this? What's the solution to this? All those times you question and you wonder, God knows those circumstances. He knows, He hears, He sees what we are going through. He knows. And what was Abraham and Sarah's circumstance that God needed to speak to them and have an encounter with them once again here? This was their circumstance. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. If I was to summarize that, their circumstance was old age. I'm not just talking about 50, 60, 70, old age. We're talking about a 99-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman. Very old. Picture the oldest person you can think of. Inana sila Abraham ug Sarah nga caliber, okay? They're very old. They're old age. They're advanced in years. But not just that. Biologically, they're incapable of conceiving a baby. The verse there says na the way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. She could not, by all means, by all physical and biological means, bear a child. She's way past the menopausal period na. She's old. Ang OB niya na matay na. If magpa-check up pa siya, wala na. It's for them, that was their circumstance. Parang, Lord, if you were to tell us right now, magkaanak kami, parang too late na. Kung magplano mi, Lord, pang burial plans na lang among buhato na mo. We can't think of having baby plans. Pang burial na ang hunaw-naw na mo. That was their circumstance. They were old and they couldn't bear a child. By all the scientific methods, buhato na to, they couldn't bear a child on their own. But here's the thing. Yes, God knows our circumstance, but not just that. God knows our circumstances, but He also wants us to trust Him in His ability to do the impossible. If you remember in verse 10, God didn't just address Abraham that, you know what, I know what you're going through. He also told him what he was going to do, and he wanted them to believe him. Abraham, I'm going to be back next year. You're going to have a son. And God didn't even have to hear from Abraham, Lord, di mo makita nga magmalatay na mi, Lord. Gamay years na lang, Lord. Malungon na mi, Lord. We're old, Lord. But you know what? God told Abraham what they needed to hear. He told them what they needed to trust Him on. That He was going to be back sometime later, again, next year. They were going to have a son. And Sarah, upon hearing this, she was in the tent. Hearing this seemingly impossible solution, you're going to have a son. She responds as many of us would respond when we're faced with something that's impossible or something that's hard to believe. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? She laughed to herself. If you remember, last week, Abraham laughed as well in disbelief kang God. Parang, ay, Lord, ako, magkaanak ako. Now, this time, it is Sarah naman who laughs. Katawa si Sarah. But this isn't the kind of laughter na, you know, kanang joyful, lang langas ng laughter. Do you have friends na grabe mo katawa? Kanabang mumapak sila, gusto mumapak, or gusto mo katawa, matumbag katawa. But you know what? This isn't a kind of laughter that's bringing joy and happiness. Sarah's laughter was not a laughter of joyful anticipation, but one of cold resignation. She gave up. That kind of laughter ang gibot ni Sarah. She laughed not with joy, but with the defeated feeling na, Lord, you're so funny, Lord. Ha, ha, ha. That cold resignation. In fact, in verse 13, the Lord confronted or rebuked them. The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Meaning, it was not a happy kind of laughter. Sarah's laughter was basically a response in unbelief. Let's talk about unbelief for a while and why is this a big thing, why it's important to tackle. Unbelief is not just doubt. Unbelief is an absence of faith. Not a tiny amount of faith, not a little faith, but an absence of faith. There's faith, magwalang faith. In other words, si Sarah, she responded in a way that she had no faith to believe that God was gonna come through, that God would make it possible that she was gonna have a child. From Lord, I don't believe you. That's it. That was her reaction. Because Sarah had taken into account all the factors in her situation. Anyone here, you're more of the thinking, analytical kind of person. You're not spontaneous. Before you do something, let's think it through muna. Una-una sa ta. Anyone here, you're kind of like that. You think through. You're not go, go, go. Mag-una-una sa ka. Sarah was kind of like that. She took into account everything that was happening around her. Her old age, her inability to have children, her barrenness, the timing, and all that. Concluding that she could not bear a child at age 90. And for many of us, or all of us, when we hear that, parang 90, bitaw, no, di na nakaanak. Ang 90, hapit na mamatay. For some of us, that's our thinking. And that's what Sarah thought. She concluded that I can't have a child at age 90. She had taken into account everything. Everything that is except for God's power to do the impossible. Think of it this way. You're Abraham or you're Sarah. The Lord is there in your tent talking to you. Speaking to you. Telling you, you know what? By next year, you're going to have a son. This is the Lord. This is the God who called you out from your former life. Now you're in this land, was blessed you and all that. Si God mismo, nagstorya na yun sila. And Sarah, with all her calculation and thinking, missed out that God is there. Missed out that, wait, si God ni, si Lord ni, He can do the seemingly impossible. She took into account everything except God. And that is unbelief. Unbelief stems from a human perspective that leaves God out of the picture. Take note, human perspective. It's through our own eyes, through our own limited perspective. What we think, what we feel, what we see, mura na ang feeling nato. And unbelief stems from that. We calculate so much, but we leave out God in the calculation. Anyone here, you've ever had those moments na parang, Lord, kanina makaya na mo, or kanina mahitabo sa Europe, but we miss out the fact that, wait, there's God. There's God with us. And much like Sarah, we miss out those times. There's another story in the Bible, just to illustrate or emphasize this point further. There's another story in the Bible that talks about missing out on God or unbelief still, and that is the feeding of the 5,000. You guys remember that story? It's in the New Testament. Jesus was teaching to this huge crowd, teaching to them, preaching to them. Then when it's about dark, in John chapter 6, verse 5, lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that there was a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Okay. He said this to test him. Okay. Jesus told Philip, Philip, asang pagkaon para nila? There was a large crowd, about 5,000 people. Anyone here nag-party na mo sa bahay or nag-invite mo dinner some friends and na-realize na mo, ano dagang kinabot? Because one friend invited too many people. Have you ever had that experience? You're wondering, sa pagpakaon na ko ay nila, maigo pa ba yung food? That's what happened here. There was a lot of people and Jesus was testing Philip. Philip, how do we feed them? And some of the disciples before, their response was, send them away so they can find food on their own. But we can't feed them. And Philip's response was, 200 denarii worth, that's an amount, worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get even a little. Philip's response was, wait, Lord, let me calculate. 5,000 people, tagpila ang panakaroon with inflation and all that. O tagdos na lang, kay para pandesal na lang, Lord, para makaburato ta. But Lord, maskig pandesal, maskig half ana, dili enough to feed the 5,000 people with this amount. He calculated, he took everything into account. But here's the thing, much like Sarah, Philip missed out that, wait, my teacher, my discipler is Jesus. I've been with this guy doing ministry. He's been doing miracles. He's been casting out demons. He's been teaching amazing stuff. This is Jesus I'm with. He missed out that, wait, that's Jesus Manaydere. And here he was trying to figure out how to solve this in his own strength, in his own way. Limited perspective. And that's what happens, church, when we move and operate in a limited perspective. Unbelief stems out of it. We kick out, remove God from the picture and thinking, Lord, this is all that we can do. This is all that could happen, Lord. And the thing is, we miss out that, wait, where's God in the picture? What about God being in the picture? That changes a lot. And here's the thing, unbelief, further to talk about unbelief, is a sin because it comes with a subtle accusation that God is a liar. It's a sin because we're not believing God. We're telling God, Lord, I don't trust you. I don't believe you. Liar ka, Lord. That's what unbelief is. We don't trust God. It is a sin. Going to Hebrews 11 verse 6 says here, and without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We can't please God without faith. We cannot live as Christians without faith. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. In other words, we all need faith. We cannot operate in unbelief. And every time we do unbelief, we commit a sin against God. Now in verse 14, going back to the story of Sarah, good thing, God didn't just leave Sarah. Parang, okay Sarah, ligam mo to na ako, bahala ka diha. Alright, you're lost Sarah, hapit na ta. But God confronts Sarah once again and tells them, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard? Is anything too difficult? Is anything impossible for the Lord to do? The Lord told Abraham, at the point in time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Magkaanak mo. Verse 15, but Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, no, but you did laugh. God confronts our unbelief so that we will see things from His perspective. You know, good thing about the story of Abraham and Sarah was that they failed many times. Many times you would see that they were not always okay with their faith. They were struggling. There are times they get tired of waiting. I mean, can you imagine 24 years waiting for a son, waiting to have a child. Abraham and Sarah was waiting for 24 years. They failed several times. But you know what the good thing in their story was that all those times that they would waver or be weakened in their faith, God would meet them, speak to them, would reassure them. God would remind them of His promise, of what He could do, of what He would do. Pretty much rekindling and, you know, reviving their faith. That, wait, nasi God. Sarah, nasi God. Let's believe in God again. And this tells us that the Word of God is important when it comes to faith. We've tackled this in week 2. If you remember that we need God's Word to sustain us in our faith. Without the Word of God, we cannot hope to walk strong or keep on walking in our faith with God. And that was the big secret of Abraham. God would speak to him. This is like the 6th time that God was going to speak to Abraham and remind him of His promise. That's the many number of times that they needed to hear from God. In fact, in verse 14, if the word hard there, when God told them, is there anything too hard for the Lord? The word hard there comes from the Hebrew word pala, which means to be marvelous, to be wonderful, to be surpassing, to be extraordinary, or to be distinguished by something. In other words, what God is trying to tell Abraham and Sarah was, is there anything that's too marvelous for God to do? Is there anything that's too wonderful, too extraordinary for the Lord to do, for God to do? So that put things into perspective. Think of the stars in the sky, the heavens in the sky. Think of it this way. God made all of those. Every planet, every star, every part of the universe, God made that. Is there anything more marvelous, more wonderful, more greater that God could do with that? That's so difficult. Look at the landscapes, the mountains. Look at those things. God made those natural things. Is there anything that's so wonderful, so extraordinary, that dili kaya ni God mabuhat to? If kaya niya ni mabuhat, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Going back to verse 14. At the point in time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. God reaffirms them. You know what? Come before, I've been laying the groundwork of what your promise will be. I called you out from your land. I made a covenant with you, Abraham. I changed your names to mother and father of many nations. I gave you a name for your son, pang preparation na. But you know what? Guess what? Next year, you're gonna have that son, finally. you're gonna have that son. I know you're 99 years old na. You're 90 years old, Sarah. You can't have kids, biologically speaking. Wala na yung makadevelop yung baby. But is there anything too hard for the Lord? I will be back next year. You're gonna have the son. God can overcome all circumstances. God is greater than any circumstance that you're facing, church. Whether that be lack, whether that be an illness, a relational dysfunction, your work, your grades, your boss, whatever circumstance you're facing, God is greater than that. And sometimes we need to divert our eyes from our circumstance to God. Kanina, when we talk about unbelief, it stems from a limited perspective. We're always looking at our problems, our weaknesses, our challenges. But how often do we fix our eyes on God? On someone who is greater than our challenge, than our circumstance. Abraham and Sarah were like that. God met them to remind them, hey, I'm going to do something. Look to me, not at your circumstance. By next year, you're going to have that son. The epilogue to this story, Genesis 21, verses 1 to 2. The Lord kept His word and did for Sarah exactly what He had promised. He kept His word. He did for Sarah exactly as He promised. Verse 2. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in old age. This wasn't some other servant nga nanganak na in Abraham's household. This was Sarah, the barren one, the old one, the one who couldn't bear kids anymore because she couldn't, physically speaking. And yet, a year after God spoke to them, she became pregnant. She gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would. What God intends to happen will happen. Verse 6 to 7, in fact, and Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. The woman who laughed in disbelief or in unbelief, the woman who laughed in resignation now is laughing with joy. Kaya grabe no, ang ngalan silang anak, Isaac, means he laughs. To remind both of his parents, now you know what, Abraham, Sarah, you laughed at one point to doubt, but you know what, here now is your son. At the same time, because again, Isaac brought much laughter, much joy to his family. That here is a baby born from an impossible situation, from an old couple who couldn't have kids, and yet here now is their son. And what joy and what laughter did this baby produce? God can overcome our circumstances, church. A couple of things before I'm about to end. I'm going to share this quick modern-day testimony of God's faithfulness or His ability to work even in a possible situation. Let me show you. This is a picture of Migs and RJ. Some of you know them. So, itong mga older church people. This is Migs and RJ. They're one of our leaders before. They're in Victory Iloilo now. And I'm sharing this because these two, at one point in their life, they were believing to have a baby. Much like any married couple would want to have a baby. They were believing to have a baby. But the thing was, the complication was, the RJ was diagnosed with PCOS. So there was complication with conceiving a baby. And at one point, in fact, the doctors told her, you know what, you can't have a baby. Imposible na. And so for 4 years of praying, of waiting, on weeping, on crying out to God, and believing and trying to be healthy, to believe that they were going to have a baby, they wrestled with God. And they had this faith journey, much like Abraham, of believing for kids, believing to have a family. And again, they've been told na lisut magkanak lagi. You know, basi di na mo magkanak, sir, ma'am. But here's the thing. If we look at them now, this is their family. They didn't adopt. This is their natural kids. The first one is Miro, the boy, the older one. It's called Miro because it's a nickname for miracle. That though they were told that they couldn't have kids, eto, here's a kid. It's a miracle. But God in His faithfulness, you know what? Dinoble niyang blessing. They didn't just have one kid. they had two kids. The other one's name, nickname niya is Mira. Okay, Bayman. Okay, so miracle. And what's a miracle? Si Miro and si Mira, testaments of God's miracles in their life. For a couple who was told that they couldn't have kids, it was impossible for them to have kids. And yes, scientifically, medically speaking, it was difficult to have kids. But again, as we've discovered in Abraham's story, is there anything too hard for the Lord? God can overcome our circumstances. If it can happen to them, it can happen to your lives as well. I'm not saying that God's ability to overcome obstacles or circumstances is limited to baby making. Delay. Whatever kind of circumstance that is, God could do something miraculous in your life. Let me just share this quickly. John chapter 3, verse 16. If you're wondering, all right, good for Abraham. They're saying 1 year assurance. What about us? What is our assurance that God's going to come through? Is it that He can do amazing things for us? But in John chapter 3, verse 16, a reminder for all of us, church, for all of us believers, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Take note of this. God was willing to give His one and only Son, so that whoever would believe Him would be forgiven of their sins. We've talked about that at communion a while ago. We have been completely forgiven of our sins. We are assured of our eternity. We have been given a new life. But when we physically die, we will be with God in eternity. In other words, if God can assure us of our eternity, then how much more of the things that are temporary? If God can provide for something that no one else could, your salvation, your eternity, your complete and total forgiveness of your sins through Jesus. If God can do that, then how much more of the temporal things of this world? How much more of the other things? Is there anything too hard for the Lord as we continue to live? Nothing is too difficult for God. I don't know what you're going through, church, but I want to remind us that nothing is too difficult for God. As I end, I want to wrap up with this point. Faith in God and His Word are needed to endure circumstances that seem impossible. If you have an impossible circumstance, you have unfixable, no way out scenario in your life right now, you need faith in God and God's Word to get through it. You may not get the answer right away. You may not get it the way you want it to, but God can move and overcome your circumstance. And it takes faith to do so. May we be reminded, church, firstly, that God, but with God, nothing is too difficult. Nothing is too difficult for God.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.